Last week, after a report in the Washington Post, a Virginia-based Christian group canceled plans to raise 300 Indonesian tsunami orphans in a mission. NPR's Brian Naylor reports on the debate over whether Christian groups can offer Bible lessons along with aid to non-Christian tsunami victims.
Dozens of aid groups are providing relief to the tsunami victims. Many are religious organizations, and among them are some very different views on the issue of proselytizing while offering assistance. Missionaries of the Richmond, Virginia-based International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention were already working in several South Asian nations when the tsunami hit. Now these missionaries are helping out in relief efforts. But Wendy Norville, the organization's spokeswoman, says they're putting relief before religion.
Many people think that our giving of aid and offering a cup of cold water or food to the hungry or medicine to the sick would make it, their receiving that would be contingent on whether or not they accept what we believe. And that's absolutely backwards. We offer loving help and physical relief and meet those needs with no strings attached.
But if aid recipients were to ask the missionaries why they've come to help, Norville says they would take the opportunity to explain their Christian beliefs. That's the approach of some, but not all, of the Christian relief groups operating in South Asia. Catholic Relief Services has channeled donations from Western givers to the local aid groups it already supports in tsunami-stricken areas. Chief Operating Officer Michael Wiest says the cultural tradition of the Catholic faith community does not include proselytizing.
There's a certain separation of providing humanitarian assistance, especially in times of disaster. We very much do this as an expression of goodwill of the American Catholic faith community and as an expression of our own faith belief. But that's the end of it.
Wiest says it's important there be a line drawn between providing relief assistance and promoting Christianity, especially in regions such as South Asia, where Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists predominate. And it's not just a matter of cultural sensitivity. Wiest says in some areas there's also a real danger.
There is a certain fringe, and I emphasize here it really is a fringe, that would find such Christian proselytizing so offensive that they could decide to take violent action against it. And they might not distinguish between one Christian organization that does proselytize and another that doesn't.
But other Christian groups view the tsunami as a chance to spread the gospel in areas normally inaccessible to them. Liberty University plans to send a fact-finding mission to the region this winter in preparation for sending students there this spring. University Chancellor, the Reverend Jerry Falwell, thinks it's important to take this opportunity.
Mother Teresa worked in Calcutta, and she spent her whole life earning the right to be heard. And she led many there into the Christian faith. Many, however, were not interested in hearing it, and she still fed them. That has to be the philosophy of any Christian ministry.
But what Christian groups call lifestyle evangelism is still a step beyond what many in the relief community say is appropriate at a time they're struggling to meet basic human needs. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.